This is The Dig on the Huskers Radio Network podcast. Powered by Emeritus. Featuring Nebraska volleyball assistant coach Jalen Reyes. Here's your host, Jessica Cootie.
Welcome back into another episode of The Dig, powered by Emeritus. And tons to get into here on this episode of The Dig with Jalen Reyes. A couple of big wins on the West Coast for Husker volleyball and a big week last week as a trio of new Huskers have signed their letter of intent to officially be Nebraska members of the Nebraska volleyball program. So to talk about all that, Jalen Reyes, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start, I guess, with the weekend and the split and the first drop set of the year. How'd you like the way the team responded? That was like the biggest storyline of all of volleyball, was that Nebraska lost a set.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot to unpack there. I would say, one, just the, it's funny when I'm talking about how did we respond to a four-set win than a three-set win, because normally it's like, usually you have to, you know, usually you get asked that after you lose the match, right? How did your team respond, you know? So I would start with the UCLA game. One, it was two awesome environments we got to play in front of. And typically, and this is me not throwing shade. This is just like, if you look at numbers, like both USC and UCLA had spectacular crowds there. Sure, there was a lot of Nebraska fans there, of course, and a lot of fans of just volleyball. I think a lot of people wanted to come out and see not just our team play, but the talent on the other side of the net at Poly Pavilion and the Galen Center at USC. And for me, it was cool because those are two gyms that I actually played in, you know. In fact, a lot of not so great memories in those gyms. You know, the Galen Center at USC is actually my last college game. We lost there in the playoffs, USC.
Oh, no.
In fact, I haven't been there since that day. And then, which
is
a long time ago.
For you walking
No, not
in?
At all. I mean, it's like my playing days are way done. And then, Poly Pavilion is just such a, it's like one of those awesome environments, you know, and arenas for college sports, right? They still have, like, John Wooden's seat is still like the only gold seat in the arena. You know, everyone's like, why is that seat the wrong color? I'm like, no, actually, you know. And then, you know, obviously just the history of volleyball at both programs, but especially at UCLA on the men's and women's side. So it was really, really awesome that our girls got to participate in matches there. But yeah, UCLA, I don't think we didn't play our best by any means for a long, significant amount of time. There's times where we played really well. Like the first set, I thought we played some pretty clean volleyball. Second set was up and down, I would say. And it was just kind of a games of runs where we kind of went on a run and then they went on a run to catch us and then we went on a run and then they went on a run toward the end and then luckily we just happened to win the last point. I didn't think the level of tenacity was there defensively, if I'm being honest, especially in sets two and three against UCLA, maybe even the beginning of set four, but we turned it on at the end. And if I'm being honest, as a coach, as a one that the goal is, you know, kind of goals are, hey, we want to win the Big Ten. Overall goals, we wanted to win the Big Ten. We want to get a top four seed to host through the regionals, and we want to make the Final Four, and then obviously we want to win the last match of the season. Winning every set in the Big Ten is not really a goal. And honestly, it's kind of nice now, and you probably get to this question, but I'm just going to answer it now. Kind of didn't mind we lose, like, in the big picture, it doesn't change any of those goals. And it's kind of nice to where maybe we don't even need to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
So, sure, after the set, you never want to say, yes, we lost the set, right? But it's kind of nice to where it's like, okay, this, like, streak that is impressive, but it's not something we set out to do. Yeah. You know, it wasn't anything we set out to do. Obviously, if you win all the sets in a row, that's good because you're winning a lot of matches, right? But it's not, the goal isn't to, hey, we got to win 3-0 tonight, and we got to win 3-0 tonight, and we got to win 3-0 tonight. It's, hey, can we win three sets by 2 points? And even though we didn't play great and we dropped the set, we still did that, you know, 3 out of 4 times on Friday night. And then for me, the response on Sunday was, you know, I thought a couple of players played a lot better. And then I thought the other thing was just, I thought our level of intensity defensively, floor defense and blocking, we responded at a higher level than we did Friday night. So that, for me, that's where the response that I'm happy with. And I mean, there was some great rallies both ways. I mean, even USC won a couple of big time rallies that were just back and forth and teams hammering the ball at each other. And you know, maybe a tip that looks like it's about to fall, a defender, you know, gets a hand underneath it. So I just thought it was a good response because it's a long trip. You know, it rained all weekend. It could have been it was an earlier match. I know the time difference, but by then we were kind of adjusted to the California time zone. So it could have been a match where we come out a little flat, and we kind of did the opposite. And USC actually played well to start. I just thought it was a lot more good Nebraska than not so great USC, in my opinion. And I'm not sure what Coach Keller would say, you know, but from our side of things, I just thought like, man, they were doing some really nice things. It's just, we had the answer when we needed it every single time. And that the other thing was, I thought Bergen Riley played another great game on Sunday for sure.
Can we, mentioned the atmosphere, and I just got to shout out Izzy, who runs a social media account, because there's all this being made about all these records being set. Well, there's nothing to do in Nebraska, but she said, perfect quote of the in post on the attendance records. Because again, once again, USC, UCLA record crowds, and she said, I guess there's nothing to do in LA either.
I mean,
that was savage. I love it.
Hey, I'm not one to get in like the Twitter war with anybody, but I want people to know like
there's that's how it is.
There's also like a lot of these attendance records are not set in Nebraska, and I bet a good amount of the people aren't just people from Nebraska coming to these games. You know, I think there's a lot of Nebraska volleyball fans everywhere. So I think it would be very easy to say, hey, there's nothing to do here in Lincoln, but I would bet most of the people wearing Nebraska red this past weekend aren't from Nebraska, you know, and vice versa. When we set some records in Minnesota or in the state of Michigan, or, you know, I know for a fact a good amount of those people are not from the state of Nebraska. So ifto facto, I just think volleyball is growing. I know I've talked about this before on this show. I think Volleyball Day really helped. You know, I think especially this junior class we have, they were freshmen back then, and I think they've kind of rode and elevated the popularity of the sport. And it's just a really fun time to either, you know, be here at Nebraska Volleyball and just being a part of the sport of volleyball. And it's not just Nebraska that are setting records. I mean, you look all over the place, and whether the record is small or significant, you know, in terms of the number, it's just really cool to see where our sport's going.
It just speaks volumes too. I mean, yes, the program, and it's a fun team to watch, but I think they've really embraced and have been able to balance utilizing their brand to also be like, you know, like you said, there might not be Nebraska fans, but there might be Harper Murray fans there, Andy Jackson fans there, or Bergen Riley. I mean, it just, they can gain their own kind of fan base in addition to Nebraska, that I think it's really cool that they're just got so much attention from so many different people and that want to come see them play.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly, Jess, it's nuts. Like, you know, I've never been like on tour with the Beatles, but it's just crazy when, you know, some of our players or a lot of our players step out of the bus or step out of a hotel or step out of the gym to go to the bus, and just like people losing their minds screaming, not just trying to get their attention, just they don't even know what to say. They just start like chum in the water, great white shark screaming, you know, or like, and I'm just like, wow, you know, these are the, you know, some of them I've known since they were little kids, like these people, grown men, some of them are just screaming their lungs out for when Bergen Riley walks off the bus or Alicek gets off the bus or any of our team, you know, it's just, it's 2 degree. It's crazy, but it's cool. It's awesome that what we do every day matters to a lot of people. And I think it's, for me, that's the thing, is it's just how many people, you know, the girls have touched, you know, through this kind of run for this year and, you know, their time here at Nebraska. And obviously, hopefully we can keep it going.
All right, let's talk about the next trio of superstars that probably will be hearing their name screamed by fans soon enough. You signed a trio. Overall, just what do you think about the three that you signed in and this class specifically, what the needs were?
For sure. I feel like you always need outside hitters. So we got two. Gabby DeVita is from just north in Michigan, and she's from the same club as Harper Murray and Campbell Flynn. The Legacy Club in you know, the Novi, Michigan area. They do a great job there, great job training. And you know, we built a really nice relationship with that club and through over the years recruiting their kids. And Gabby's just another coach's kid. She's a really, really good volleyball player. She plays a lot, honestly, like a Harper Murray in terms of she's a six rotation volleyball player. She's a really good passer. I think her best skill, honestly, is serve, receive, and defense. She's one that could, like, you know, if we needed to, she could play libero. Like, that's how gifted she is passing. Obviously, she's going to have to do it at the college level. But and then she's just, like, a really very smart volleyball player. You know, blocks a lot more balls than maybe her physicality says she could. And then at the net, you know, she's one that can hit the ball hard a lot of different areas. She's one that also, I think, fit really well into, you know, the offense Danny and Kelly want to run because we're trying to, you know, speed things up, and that's kind of where Gabby's game's at. And then Jaden Robinson, she's kind of from the Houston, Texas area. She's a player that could play both pins. You know, for us, that's important just because, you know, when we committed her, she plays outside hitter or on the left for a high school and club team, and a very good high school and club team. And then she plays opposite on some USA teams. And she's really physical, big jumper, really, really good blocker. People that maybe follow her on social media, a lot of the stuff you see on her is like her like way over the net, basically like higher than the attacker, clamping the ball straight down before the attacker even gets to hit it. So, you know, there's a lot of YouTube clips of her blocking balls, and she can do that as well. And for us with her is like, what position will she end up being? Will she be a left side hitter or will she be an opposite? And for us, that's kind of a fun puzzle to fix. And I think coming in, it gives her a lot of avenues to play, right? She's not just kind of wedged into one certain area. And then Keani Williams, she's from the Dallas, or she's technically from Fort Worth, Texas. She plays another kid that plays at a really, really high level, big time level in club. One, if you're a kid that plays volleyball in Dallas, especially at one of the top teams, you have to be pretty good because, I mean, even the fourth best team in Dallas is still like top 10 in the country. There's just a lot of great volleyball players, a lot of great athletes playing volleyball in the state of Texas. But Key Baby, that's what we call her, Key Baby. She's a middle blocker, super athletic. She's been a kid that when she was young, she was always really tall. She's probably, I don't know, I think I met her when she was 13. She's probably already 6'2" and a half, 6'3". She could move pretty well. She could always like get off the floor. But then as she got older, like the volleyball skill caught up, like her arm swing got better. She became a better read blocker. Her footwork got a lot better and she just started hitting the ball harder, if that makes sense, which is always nice to follow in recruiting. When you recruit a kid, you want them to hit the ball hard and stuff like that. And, I always kind of equate her, and especially a lot of the younger kids when they're tall, the tall kids, they're kind of like a baby deer. They're just really long. You can tell maybe they're a little too long for their limbs are a little too long for the brain to catch up. But eventually, as you follow them, you hope, you know, those things merge. And, you know, we think she's going to be a really, really another solid middle blocker. I don't really have a comparison with her because she's a really good athlete. But she's also just a really strong kid. You know, she's kind of in like the Manaya Obeche, Rebecca Alec mold. But I think she's a little higher off the ground than those guys were at the same age. So the one thing that's come on for her is her offensive game, which is really exciting. But yeah, three really good players, really talented players. They'll all be here in January, which is going to be important for us. So they'll start kind of playing beach with us a little bit, which will be funny for some of them if they're watching. And then, you know, we'll start with them indoor around March-ish. But yeah, excited for those three. Feels like forever since we've been recruiting them, especially like somebody like Gabby who – you know, just because we spent so much time in the Legacy Gym, we kind of followed her since she was probably 13. She actually used to play up and play with Campbell. And then when they got older, Gabby kind of went back down to her age and Campbell played with her age. So it's a really exciting group, one of the top classes in the country, and we can't wait for them to officially be with us in January.
That's awesome. You like recruiting. Not every coach likes recruiting, but you enjoy kind of going out and identifying talent and what fits Nebraska, right?
Yeah, I really do. I enjoy the travel. I know that's probably one thing that people don't like about it is the travel. I enjoy volleyball. So like when you go and watch these things, it's not just watching these three kids play. You're watching hundreds of courts a weekend, if I'm being honest. And it can be overwhelming at times. And it can be stressful, and it can be, hey, I hope we're making the right decisions. And obviously sometimes you don't know until after you look back on their career and be like, we made the right decision here, you know? But I don't know. I like connecting with people. You get to meet new people. You get to go to new places. And, you know, I get to travel to some pretty awesome places to, you know, hopefully find people. And I think the biggest thing too is kind of like what we talked about with our girls and connecting with other people. It matters. Like, it really matters to people. You know, these three that are coming in, how talented they have become, and if they help us win volleyball games and win Big Tens and win, get to the Final Four and win national championships, it matters to a lot of people besides, you know, the athletic department, the 16 players, the five coaches, and the parents. You know, mm-hmm. It matters to a lot of people. So, yeah, I enjoy it. I also look at it as, like, it's a privilege and a responsibility to make sure that we go out and put our best foot forward to, you know, find the athletes, find the people that will help us, you know, hopefully continue the success.
It's got to be pretty rewarding, and not just for you, but for coaches. I just have never asked this question. Like, when you identify someone at 13 and then they come in and they're like All-American. Oh, yep. I got it right on that
for
one.
For sure. I think there's a, right? It's not a exact science, right? I mean, you know, I was doing this before I got to Nebraska at BYU too, and you miss on sometimes just as many, you know, and stuff like that. And you can define the word miss however you want, right? And sometimes you recruit a kid and they get, you know, the public thinks, oh, it's a miss because, you know, it's not everyone can be an All-American, right? That's what's special about being an All-American is they don't give them out to everybody, right? But I think sometimes it's, if you just hit on a few, right? When you think about it, you just, and I don't know how you define hit again is, hey, if they're an All-American, you only need a few to become All-Americans, but then you also need some to, like, fill certain roles, right, which we currently have on this team right now. Not everyone on our team this year, I'm not breaking any news here, but not everyone on our team will be an All-American this year. I mean, of course, I could be wrong, but I don't think that's usually how it works. But that doesn't mean, you know, 1 through 17, they're not equally as important to the success, hopefully, of this team going forward. You know, what we've experienced now plus going forward. But yeah, I think there's some satisfaction in it. I mean, there's times where, you know, for me, it's like, okay, awesome. They're really talented at 13, but how are they going to be when they're 18 to 22? I always tell the kids too, like, hey, don't take this the wrong way, but you winning MVP at 16 at USA Volleyball, I'm happy for you, but, like, in the grand scheme of things, for us at Nebraska, that doesn't necessarily mean anything to us. It's like, what do you project like when you're going to be 18 to 20, you know, 18 to 22, 23. And, you know, so yeah, there's some satisfaction, but at the same time, I also feel like there's a lot of work that goes in it with the kids as well, you know, and obviously there's a lot of responsibility on us as coaches and as a support staff to help them get there. But, you know, it's like putting a puzzle together, right? Sometimes, hey, everyone wants this L-shaped piece, but if you already have one or two, you can't make a team with only L-shaped pieces, right? You need to find some other pieces that kind of get the puzzle to fit together. And I kind of enjoy that piece of it too, right? Where, okay, there's like the no-brainer kids that everyone in the country is going to recruit. But like, who's the kid that, I mean, if this is going to sound insane to people, but like Andy Jackson.
Yeah.
It's easy to see it now. And even when she was a junior and senior in high school, okay, people were like, wow. But, like, when she was a freshman and sophomore, it wasn't so black and white, you know? And for us, even, I'll admit, like, even for us, it was like, how is she going to pan out? I mean, now it's like, and it's pretty clear cut, like, who she is, right? But I don't want to sit here and say, hey, we were so confident. It was just, hey, we got to know the kid. Obviously, she was talented enough. You know, she was playing in a club program that maybe didn't feature all the skills we wanted to see, but like there was a little bit of her that through the quality of that, she stayed with that club team and didn't go to necessarily a more established club. For us, it was like, okay, some loyalty, some development, she cared about some other things and necessarily, hey, I'm just going to go somewhere to win. And, you know, I think that's really done her well in terms of like patience and stuff like that she learned in club that really helped her here translate here. Obviously she got to play right away when she got to Nebraska, but you know, I think, I mean, as one that recruited her. I can't speak for all the other college coaches, but I know a lot of schools didn't recruit her. And, you know, there's some really big schools that decided not to offer her, you know? So I think all of us now would, like, everyone would sign up in a heartbeat. But for us, even at the time, it wasn't as, like, black and white. Yeah. Now it's, well, no crap. She's probably the best player in her position in the country. But at the time, it wasn't as clear cut. So there's a little bit of, like, you're trying to project how are they going to be, you know? But a lot of it is you can project, but a lot of it is on the development of the kid. So, like, I'm using Annie for an example, and I know she's still in this process of getting better, but, you know, to her credit, she's doing everything she can to become what we thought she could become, you know?
Yeah.
And more, if I'm being honest.
Absolutely. I remember, too, Andy talking about that. Just, I mean, her recruiting process was not like most of the other Huskers, you know?
For sure.
She was not, most of them, you can go after the top talent, but hers was not, did not look like the rest of them, her recruiting story.
Right. So. By the time she was a junior or senior, though, she got to that level. But it usually, for volleyball, we're recruiting, this summer, we'll offer the girls that just finished their sophomore year of high school. Wasn't until like her end of her junior year, senior year, that everyone was like, okay, she is probably going to be one of the next coming players that make it to the national team. But when she was a sophomore, when all of us have to make decisions to a degree, it wasn't. And I'm sitting here, one that was always been a fan of her, but there was still some, you know, and I think Andy, if Andy were here, she would probably admit to you the same thing, right? Where it's not, it wasn't that, but I don't know. It was just, it was such a different recruiting process. And I'm, you know, happily that it's coming to fruition.
So I think people might be interested to hear, because you do recruit so far in advance and every class looks different. You have different needs. How you guys and you specifically go about figuring out year to year what the need might be from the high school level. Because now you have the transfer portal involved and you supplement with that, but you guys are going to continue to go after the top high school talent. So how you go about identifying what each class might be needed from and what you're kind of trying to bring in.
For sure. I think we want to be, you know, we've obviously a Taylor Landfair. You know, we have an Allie Check on the team this year. You know, we had a Merritt Beeson. You know, great Huskers, current great Huskers, former great Huskers that have transferred in. So I don't want to sit here and say we're only going to recruit high school kids because that's just purely not true. I think this day and age, you have to adapt to what you can do. But I think one thing is we're in a position where we can recruit a lot of the best high school players. And I think the difference one of the biggest differences, I think, for us compared to, I think a lot of people are going to compare us, I use Husker sports, to men's and football and men's basketball, right? We get compared a lot to each other because maybe the success or the notoriety of the programs. There's a big difference in females and males. And what I mean by that, and I know there's always the, you know, it's always used as a joke for males, right? Is like, boys don't go through puberty until later, right? But what that, and girls mature quicker, right? Like all this guy, oh, you guys aren't mature because you're, and it's true. Some men never mature. We can get into that another day. But what's important when we're talking about women is because they go through that maturation process earlier, when they're younger, you can kind of tell who's going to be an athletic stud or not. So I'll give you an example. When we recruited Andy, we knew she was going to be a great athlete. It was just like, are the volleyball things going to catch up? But to a degree, that's something you can teach a little more. You necessarily can't, you can make someone jump a little bit higher. You can do things to make them a little quicker twitch athlete like Andy. But like, I can't take someone that's not a great athlete when they're a freshman in high school, sophomore in high school, junior in high school, and make them turn them into an athlete like Andy Jackson. It's just, you just can't, I don't, care how
it's
much
God
time.
Given. A lot of it's God-given.
Yeah, I can't
given.
Tell. I can't, even if you spend all this time lifting weights and stuff like that. So so that's one of the reasons why it's easier. It's, again, it's not 100%, but it's easier versus the guys you see, right? Like, if you look at the national team for volleyball, most of the girls go to the schools that you would think of. Nebraska, Texas, Penn State, Stanford. List goes on and on. It's like a Jordan Thompson going to Cincinnati is very rare. So what that tells me is usually the kids when they're top of the line early, they tend to be kind of the kids that are top of the line later. if that makes sense. So versus in the NFL, I'll use the NFL for an example. How many quarterbacks actually went to Alabama, Ohio State? You know, I mean, the two best quarterbacks in the NFL, or the three or four. Okay, Joe Burrow went to Ohio State and LSU. Okay, but he never played at Ohio State. I mean, think about it, right? He didn't play. Okay, Josh Allen went to Wyoming. Lamar Jackson went to Louisville. He could have gone to other schools to play running back, not quarterback, right? Other schools recruited him to be an athlete, not to be a quarterback. So that's why he went to Louisville. And then Patrick Mahomes went to Texas Tech, you know? So in male sports, when guys mature later, it's true. Like, they physically mature later. So that's why, in my opinion, you also see kids not getting offered out of high school. And then, one, it's a huge advantage. Like, from the maturity process from a 20-year-old male to a 23-year-old male is massive, right? So there's always this, like, whoa, this kid maybe wasn't a blue-chip recruit out of high school, but he went to college a little bit. Maybe he went through puberty a little later, and now when he's 21, 22, he looks like an NFL guy, and that's the guy that ends up transferring to one of the big schools, right? In women's, you can kind of project who are going to be the stud athletes, athletic ability younger, and they tend to be on par. Now it's like, when they get to college, are they going to put the work in to develop into the volleyball player they need to become to get there? And sure, you can make gains, or you can make losses in terms of your physicality, depending on how you train and nutrition and strength and conditioning and mental health and all that stuff. But like, to a degree, I guess females they're closer to their max potential physically younger. So it's easier. I shouldn't say easy. That's not the right word. But males, there's just so much variability of physicality versus in women, it's a little tighter. So for us, it's like, we're trying to find, okay, who are those kids that are in this range physically, right? Especially in different positions. Take out setter and libero, because they're kind of different. They're specialty skills. So like middles and outside hitters, who are the kids that are, you know, tall, long? And then the big thing for us is, it's recruiting is, you know, everyone says recruiting is an arms race. It literally, in volleyball, is an arms race. Like, can you hit the ball hard? How is your arm? So for me, it's like, if you have the physicality piece, great, but I need to love your arm. And I can only speak for me. I can't speak for Danny or Kelly or Brennan. But for me, it's like, I need to love your arm swing, and you have to be able to hit the ball hard. Because if you can't, it gets to a point where it's going to be really hard for you to score. Unless you're 6'7", or you jump so high, you're going over the block. So for an example, like Harper Murray has a great arm. The indicator for me, if you have a great arm, is, can you hit the ball off the block and it goes over the defense? Can you off the block and go over? And there was a couple swings against UCLA and USC where she did that, where she's in trouble. There's a really good block in front of her, and she has the capability of putting enough velocity on the ball to get it off the block and over the top. Like, that's kind of a sign for me if you have a great arm. And then, can you do it? Can you hit angle? Can you hit sharp angle? Can you hit in the corner? Can you hit down a line? So I guess for attackers, it's that with the physicality piece. Setting is different. Setting is such a skill-based thing. And then I think also setters, we try to space them out.
Yeah.
You know, so they're kind of like a quarterback, right? Typically, if the system we're running a 5-1, we only have one setter play. So you don't necessarily want to stack setters up, because typically they won't come to your program if you do that, especially the great ones. They want to kind of go somewhere where they see a window easier to play, versus an outside hitter. You play two or three of them, right?
Hitters are like offensive linemen.
Yes.
You want multiple every class, you can right? Play,
and you also want like ones that do different things, right? So like, you know, you have a Taylor Landfair versus a T. Sigler and a Harper Murray and a Skylar Pierce. They're all kind of different outsides, right? And then opposites, they tend to be a little bigger, right? But then you have different player on that side, like Ryan Hunter. Maybe he's not as tall as Ali Cech or Virginia Adriano, but she can get on the ball fast. And, you know, it's also an advantage to have a lefty on that side. So it kind of just depends. And then libero is also the different. You can play multiple. Like, we play Lainey Choboy and Olivia Malk. So it's always nice to, you know, have one or two of those guys coming in. For us, it's like, we want to have somebody that can play. Like, you know, there's the physical bangers, the kids that are super physical that you need. But it's still called, our biggest joke is, it's still called volleyball. So it's always nice in every class where you have one or two kids that can come in and they can play volleyball. And I know it sounds kind of elementary, but you have some teams that bring in all these physical kids, but then you're, you know, we don't want everyone to be the team that has all these physical people, but then someone serves a ball at us or hits it at us, and we just can't pass it to the setter to set those kids. So you need some people that can control the ball and play volleyball. So it just depends, you know, but it's like setter is the one that we kind of, you try to project a little out because of, you don't typically bring in a blue chip one every single year, versus, you know, middle, depending on the need, maybe you bring one in if one's going out. And then pin hitters, usually you bring in one or two a year because usually by then you have one or two leaving. So,
well, I could ask you a million other questions, but this is the last high school question I'll ask you, and then we'll preview the weekend. But you were out at the Nebraska High School State Championships. People were documenting that. You were sitting courtside. You were impressed. We were chatting before we started recording. You were really impressed with just the student sections, the rowdiness, the fans, but also just the level of volleyball that you got to see.
I mean, one, it's just awesome to see, like, how many kids from small towns or from the west side of Omaha to in a Lincoln to the towns that surround Lincoln, how many like really good volleyball players there are, you know. And some of them, they come in all shapes and sizes, and some of them are smaller and some of them are bigger and some of them's kind of in the middle. And you know, there's kids that I'm looking through the manual, and I kind of know, but I'm just looking through the manual of the tournament, and man, this kid's going to play here, and this kid's going to play here, and this kid's going to go play in the ACC, and this kid's going to play in the Big Ten, and this kid's coming to Nebraska, and this kid's, you know. So it's really awesome for, a state, you know. I know to some people there's not much to do here, but, you know, for a state with so little people compared to these big cities like where Jaden Robinson is from or Keanu Williams from Houston, or, you know, from the state of Houston, I mean, the state city of Houston, there's more people there than the entire state of Nebraska. And I'm not going to say we produce as many Division I volleyball players, but per capita for how many people we have playing, it's pretty impressive how many volleyball players this state produces. So, The level of play is really, really awesome. I think the level of coaching here in high school volleyball is really, really good, which helps the talent. It's also impressive to see it's like it's not just Lincoln and Omaha dominated. Sure, a lot of the state championships go to those kids because those kids play maybe a higher level most of the time. But then you see teams from the panhandle and the teams from the state, the center of the state come out here and compete really well. But the thing for me that's the most impressive thing is you know, we were lucky enough to fly. We played Minnesota early that day, so we got back for the state championship. And the finals are all in Devaney, so we got to see a little bit of the Class B and Class A. But earlier in the week, they all play at Pinnacle Bank Arena, and they just drop a curtain in the middle, and they have two courts going. And it's so cool to see. My first time, I went there with Coach Cook at the time, and, you know, you're just, like, sitting there and watching the level of play, but also watching – it's not just the student sections, but it's like the entire towns are at these games, you know? And I don't know that, like, you're not just playing for like your team. Most of these kids, you're playing for your entire town. And like, if you win the state championship, you are going to be like a hometown hero. You might have to never buy a drink ever in your entire life if you win a state championship in some of these towns. And, you know, I just think it like that breeds like, hey, this matters to people, you know, and what I do matters to a lot of people. And you see all these little kids watching some of these kids play one day, hoping that they're playing at Pinnacle Bank Arena or whatever venue, whatever sport they want, they end up playing. But I don't know. I just think the state championships here are really, really cool. And the volleyball one, I would put up there with any state in terms of the environment it creates. And, you know, it brings all this volleyball talent for 4 days to Lincoln, Nebraska.
It's awesome for sure. Okay, so for back to Husker volleyball this weekend, you've got Iowa on Thursday, at Indiana on Saturday, but just four matches left in conference play and in the regular season. What needs to happen over these next couple of weeks in these four matches for this team to be set up to for the NCAA tournament and beyond?
Yeah, well, we kind of look at it like we only have four guaranteed games left, you know, in terms of on the schedule. Sure, do we think we're going to make the tournament? I hope so, but... You know, I don't know. I just think we need to keep getting better. And I know that just sounds so boring and cliche, but a good amount of this team has won the Big Ten before, twice. A good amount of this team has made the Final Four, some of them twice. At the end of the day, we haven't done one thing, and that's the one thing that we set out to do. So I just hope... And if it sounds like I'm speaking to the girls right now, I kind of am. I just hope at the end of the day, no matter what happens, like these next couple of weeks, we're like focused on getting better, because I'm not saying we're overlooking anything to that day, but we need to use every opportunity each day to the end to get better, to hope us, you know, to hopefully reach the end, but also can we be successful? So, you know, this week we got to get better at some stuff. I think USC and UCLA showed us some stuff that we can improve on that and I think everything goes like this in a season. You don't necessarily want us to peak right now. But there's some stuff that I thought, especially UCLA, that they exposed in us a little bit that we need to get better at. I'm sure, hey, Iowa and Indiana are going to look at the video and maybe see some of the things they did to kind of slow us down. And I'm not just saying, hey, just because we lost a set, but even the sets we won, I felt like they did a nice job of doing certain things. So there's some pretty critical areas in the game that we need to get better at. But I also think like there's certain areas that we can just keep expanding on, you know, things that we can get better at offensively, maybe a little more range passing, you know, maybe working on a seam passing, because teams are getting to start serve certain areas that, you know, I think we can be a little crisper and cleaner on. And, you know, for us, it's like keep the focus on that, not necessarily, hey, the magnitude, or if we win this match, what does that get us? You know, because, you know, for us, it's like we want to make sure we keep winning, but also at the same time, keep getting better, because that's really the thing that will affect winning.
How do you balance that and also celebrate those victories too?
For sure. I think that is a big thing. I think Danny's great at those things because winning's really hard, you know? So it's a balance, right? You just said the balance of, hey, can we get better? But I think one thing is, hey, we're working on we're working on our transition offense. Right? Let's just say we're hitting a little low in transition offense. So for those that maybe aren't familiar, transition offense is, so for an example, a team serves at us, we pass set hit, that's first ball offense. Any offense during a rally, so if we dig the ball and then we hit the ball, that's in transition. So usually your transition offense tends to be a little lower because you're transitioning from defense to offense, and that's a little harder versus, hey, you're already in your offensive mode and serve receive. We're working on our transition offense. Maybe we raise the level or our hitting percentage in transition. We're going to make sure the team knows about that. Not to, hey, we can settle on this now because we're better at it, but like celebrate that, hey, the things you guys are doing in matches or in practice, and actually more importantly in practice, it's translating into games and we're seeing results, you know? So making sure that we celebrate the little things, if that makes sense. Yeah. You know, I thought one of the, you know, one thing that I thought we did really well is, hey, we bounced back after losing a set. And I know kind of, you know, I think some of the Huskers laughed at me for saying that, but I'm like, but guys, like, I don't even remember the date when the last time we had to do that, you know? So like, I don't want to take for granted that we would just win the next set, because it's, nothing's guaranteed, mm-hmm. you know? So for us, it's like celebrating the little things. And then I thought, I mean, I know I said this earlier, but like our response to Danny even challenging everybody, not just the players, but everybody in terms of like, our defensive intensity after the UCLA game, everyone responded, you know, everybody. I mean, we put people in the game and they're like digging balls, you know? And I mean, Andy Jackson's pulling off the net for some reason. I don't know why, but she pulls off the net when we want her blocking and she's digging balls cross court, you know? And just like everybody got into that state of mind. But I also thought like the intensity from like the players on the bench, like kind of like, hey, I'm not out there digging balls, but like when we dig balls, I'm going to get equally as excited for the people out there digging the ball. I thought like they showed more intensity too, you know? So I just felt like, hey, you guys were challenged, sometimes challenged by the other team, sometimes challenged by your head coach, and you guys responded. Like that's one way we can make sure that it doesn't get stale, or it's not just about winning, you know? It's about, hey, can we get better? We're going to celebrate the little victories along the way. And, you know, hopefully we have a chance this week to, you know, I'm not sure if you're going to ask about this, but we have a chance this week to kind of win the conference for the third time in a row. And I don't believe Nebraska's ever done that in the Big Ten. I know in the Big 12 they've done it, but I'm not sure Nebraska's ever won the volleyball championship three times in a row in the Big Ten. And that's a big deal, you know? So hopefully we can kind of accomplish that this week.
And the fact that you're doing it before the final weekend. That doesn't
usually
happen in
right?
the Big Ten.
I mean, hopefully, obviously nothing's
You have a chance to.
Yes,
you
we
know,
have an
normally,
opportunity that our team has earned.
Yeah.
And now it's like, can we get better? Can we do that? And that is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Right, that's one of our goals. Right, the set record in a row is impressive, but like, it's not one of our goals. Sure, it's helping us get toward the goal, but it's not one of our goals. So it's not one of those, like, I don't even, what was the number? 48, 47, 46?
I don't even.
Right, exactly, Jess. You don't
even
remember.
It was in September.
That's September 18th. Kind of like, all right, that's over. Let's move on and let's keep going. And hopefully we can beat Iowa on Thursday.
Oh, great stuff. Because normally the Big Ten is like, it's such a battle and a grind that it's going up until the last weekend.
Yeah.
It takes till the last match being played to be able to settle it a lot of times.
Yep.
And you guys have set yourself up to where you have an opportunity to do it before the last weekend even comes.
And that's something too, is a credit to the players' efforts and what they've accomplished, because what they're doing is honestly pretty crazy. Like, I mean, as a person that wants to be humble and we're going to focus on this, like, if I were to sit back and if I were like coaching another team, I'd be like, wow, like what the players at Nebraska have done is pretty impressive. And then the fact that, you know, Danny's come in, you know, new staff, new team, and, you know, she's herself through and through, like, that's hard to do, especially at the school like Nebraska, to where, you know, every decision she makes is like under a microscope. And, you know, she's, as a person that gets to work with her and for her each and every day, like, she's herself 100% of the time. And I think that's something that, you know, should be celebrated as well.
Awesome. Great stuff. I've kept you long enough, but appreciate your time. And thanks for the breakdown on recruiting. And as always, enjoyed chatting with you, and best of luck this weekend.
Thanks, Jess.
Assistant Coach Jalen Reyes here with us on The Dig. Emeritus is proud to power The Dig and all of Husker women's sports. Thanks for listening and watching. And as always, make sure you subscribe and like wherever you listen to never miss an episode right here on the Huskers Radio Network podcast.